From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, it's good to be back in studio.
I know. We've been sort of out of studio for a long time, and it is nice to see faces, real human beings from time to time. And hey, before we introduce our first guest, I want to do a quick shout out to what's happening next week on Wednesday. It's the KPCW Winter Pledge Drive. Well, it's not just happening on Wednesday. It's happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, of course. We show up on Wednesday. We are going to have the National Ability Center join us.
Always a fun group. Oh, I can't wait to have them on.
Yeah, always fun. So if you appreciate local radio, and I know you do, and if you love these public affairs shows that we bring you every day, Monday through Thursday at 9 a.m., please give us a call. And we get a little competitive, and we like to have the most calls on The Mountain Life. Well, and Cool Science Radio, but while I'm with
on
you, Pete.
On The Mountain Life. And it's okay if your boss looks at you awkwardly and like, why do you have that radio going on? It's because I do every week.
That's right.
I'm supporting KPCW.
That's right. Well, let's welcome our first guest. Dr. Armin Lapine is a cardiologist at Intermountain Park City Hospital. Now, he would like it, you know, if he didn't have to see so many of us so often. That's why he's joining us to talk about how to keep a healthy heart at all ages with these seven things we should all be doing. Dr. Lapine, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, we're happy to have you. How long have we had you in our great community?
It's going on 8 years this summer, it'll be.
Wow. You're just a long-time local at this point.
That's right. I guess I can officially say I'm a local now.
Yes. That's right. So we like to have little monikers or lists of things, and I like the way that the American Heart Association has defined ideal cardiovascular health based on seven risk factors, actually, life's simple seven. And so these are the things that we need to watch out for. And before we get into that list, Dr. Lapine, how are we doing on heart health here in Summit and Wasatch counties?
Well, I would say in Summit and Wasatch counties, we're probably doing better than most. We tend to be a community of fairly active individuals who live pretty active lifestyles, both for work and for play. And so we see a lot less obesity and some of the other chronic problems that are more prevalent in areas where people aren't spending so much time outside doing regular activities the way we are here. The only thing that I would say that works against us here on the Wasatch Back in particular is that, as these last couple weeks have shown, we have some pretty bad weather at times. And that tends to keep people inside and prevent them from being as active as they might normally be if they were in a climate where the weather was a little more conducive to getting out and exercising. So that's just one thing that we have to be aware of, is the weather can be pretty tough here a lot of the year. And I hear that as an excuse a lot from patients for reasons why they're not as active as they'd like to be, is it's tough to be outside walking and doing things when the weather is so tough.
Well, that is both sad and encouraging, because that's an easy solution with such great amenities and resorts, and we can get people out on skis. So hopefully one of our underwriters can help you solve that by getting skis out to all of those folks who are saying they're having a hard time out there.
We are blessed for sure with our trail system and all the options that we have for activity, for sure.
Do you think that having the plethora of resources and amenities in our community is the precipitating condition for having such a healthy community, or vice versa? Chicken or the egg?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the community certainly draws people who are attracted to this type of lifestyle, and as a result, they tend to be individuals that I would say, are a little more focused on their health and trying to eat properly and get regular exercise and take care of themselves. But then I think there's lots of individuals who've been born and raised in this area, and it's just part of the fabric of their life is being here and doing things, whether it's hunting and fishing or skiing or running or biking. It's just part of, you know, what they've always known to be the norm for them. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, you list, or I guess the National Heart Association lists seven of those factors: blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, glucose, physical activity, diet, weight, and smoking status are risk factors for heart disease and heart health. If I were only going to focus on one, which one would you say, all right, Pete, you should focus on this? This is the largest risk factor.
So that's interesting that you would say that, because that is something that I find myself saying to my patients a lot. You know, I see a great deal of individuals who have multiple categories of these risk factors that are not well controlled, and it can be clearly a little overwhelming for them. And so if you're hitting them with, you know, you need to lose weight, you need to quit smoking, and you need to look at your blood pressure, I think sometimes people just become a little overwhelmed and feel like they're not going to be able to do it, and so they don't do anything at all. And so one thing I would say, if all of these categories are a factor for you in terms of not being optimized, quitting smoking really, I would say, should be at the top of that list. I mean, smoking cigarettes is just absolutely toxic to the lining of your blood vessels. And not only is it a significant risk factor for vascular disease, heart attack, and stroke, but it's also a significant risk for cancer, particularly lung cancer, where it accounts for over 90% of cases. So if you were only going to do one thing, Pete, and you were a smoker, I would say quit smoking starting today if you can. That would be the number one thing. But they're all important, and they all can be abnormal to varying degrees. And so the risk that each one of these things, whether it's blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, might portend to a certain individual can vary depending on how out of whack some of those things are.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, our guest is Dr. Armin Lapine. He's a cardiologist at Intermountain Park City Hospital and Heber Valley Hospital. Dr. Lapine, it's interesting. I think if you said to the average person, what are the high risk factors for heart attack, I think most people could name probably at least four of these out of the seven. Something I wouldn't have come up with is this notion of blood sugar. We have heard in, you know, the last decade how bad sugar is for you, and having your high blood sugar, or, you know, your glucose levels being high. But can you explain to us a little bit more about that? That's not something I really realized relates to heart health.
Sure. So abnormal blood glucose or blood sugar is a spectrum that leads to diabetes. And, you know, when you ask what's the one thing that I would recommend you do, and I said quit smoking, I would say diabetes and abnormal blood sugar would be a close second. You know, diabetes or having an abnormal blood sugar level is a huge risk factor for vascular disease. And it's also a risk factor for other problems, including chronic kidney disease as well. And it tends to track your weight. And so as your weight goes up, your body's ability to use insulin and to process your blood sugar normally is reduced. And you move on a scale from normal blood sugars into what we would call sort of a pre-diabetes range into becoming a frank diabetic patient. And if there is one good thing about abnormal blood sugar for most individuals, and we're generally talking about type 2 diabetes here, is it's very responsive to weight loss and to regular aerobic activity. So the more weight you lose and the more physically active you are, the better controlled your blood sugar will be. So even though it is a very significant risk factor for having cardiovascular problems, it is one that tends to respond quite nicely to lifestyle modification. And that really generally is weight loss and regular aerobic activity.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense, the relation to diabetes. And, you know, it's interesting, during the COVID times, diabetics were particularly at risk if they were to get COVID. And my question was, you know, why around that? And I learned that if you're diabetic, basically your organs are just at a much greater risk of failing overall. And that was a new understanding for me. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think that, you know, having elevated blood glucose has an adverse effect on the blood vessels that supply all of your organs, your brain, your heart, your kidneys. And so it's all an interconnected system. And having these elevated blood glucose levels have really a detrimental effect, particularly over a period of years, on all of your organ systems. Mm-hmm. They result in accelerated atherosclerosis of the heart, which basically just means plaque formation in the blood vessels to the heart. It results in kidney disease, where your kidneys stop functioning normally. And when that happens, you're at risk for things like heart failure and high blood pressure related to your kidney disease. So there's just a whole host of bad things that happen when we allow our blood glucose to remain elevated for extended periods of time. And it's not unusual for people to walk around with diabetes with very elevated blood glucose levels for long periods of time if they aren't seeing their primary care provider regularly and having lab work to check and look for those things. And there's a simple lab test you can do called the hemoglobin A1C that's generally part of annual labs that most primary care providers would be getting on their patients. That gives us an idea not only of what your blood glucose is at the time your blood's drawn, but what your blood glucose has looked like over a period of months. And if that level is elevated into a range that suggests diabetes, the sooner you can get treated, the sooner you can start lowering your risk for all these chronic ailments that are related to it.
So, doctor, I'm going to go ahead and throw myself under the bus here. I have a perpetual habit of exercising absorbent amounts of hours and then also just eating regular sugar pretty much throughout the day. I go pretty much donut or pastry in the morning. My wife is listening. She'll call in and validate that. Cupcake or something like that for a midday snack, and end with a good bowl of sugar, ice cream. And, you know, I fill it in pretty regularly also. I don't want to just rely on those, but I will have some other candy items. Well, if I can run, you know, 100 miles a week and I'm sustaining that diet, is that adequate, or are you going to, you're going to red flag me on this one?
I'm going to red flag you.
Ah.
So, you know, I often, that's sort of related to another question that I get asked a lot, which is, with if I take cholesterol medicine, does that just mean I can eat steak and hamburgers and anything I want all the time? And so I think that, you know, it's a multi-pronged approach to reducing your risk. And that's why the American Heart Association has come up with this, you know, simple seven here of these risk factors that you can personally modify. And it's because any one thing, it's great that you exercise regularly, and I would definitely encourage that. I mean, the current recommendations are to get 150 minutes a week of moderate physical activity or 75 minutes a week of more vigorous physical activity, but I certainly wouldn't limit it to that. If you want to do more, by all means, do more. But just because you exercise doesn't mean that you're not having risk from other things, like a poor diet that's high in refined sugars, or inadequate control of your blood pressure, or you know, other things where you're not being as active as you might, you know, might want to be if that wasn't part of one of your, you know, lifestyle changes you were making. So I think for you, you know, certainly the exercise is great. That's going to help with blood pressure. It's going to help your lipids, your cholesterol to look better. It's going to help with your blood sugars, but I would still encourage you to try to follow a diet that's a little bit less focused on some of the sugars, particularly the free sugars, and more on sort of, you know, fruits, vegetables, lean protein, whole grains, those sort of things. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, the one thing I would say is that, again, when we're having these discussions in the office with patients, the goal is to try to help people to facilitate change in their lives. And if you're hitting them with sort of these all or none ultimatums, most people are not successful with that. And so I don't want you to give up all your candy and cake and cookies. I would just ask you to try to minimize the portions, minimize the frequency that you're consuming those things. And if you're doing that, you're going to be on a path to a more heart-healthy diet.
Well, we certainly can appreciate a healthy heart. But when you talk about change, I definitely notice the changes for myself. And I think, Linda, I've talked about this as we were getting older, that we can't affect that change. It's the change is happening to us with age. And so I've had to decrease some of the sugars and some of those, just one donut in the morning, not two. How I'm sure you get, you know, patients who come in and they're just shocked. They were an athlete, they were pretty active, and now all of a sudden they're hitting their 40s, 50s, 60s, and things are different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly as you age, things change. We see lipids change for the worse. Your cholesterol will tend to move towards a more unfavorable profile. Blood pressure, particularly systolic pressure, will tend to increase as you age, mostly related to sort of a stiffening of the blood vessels with age. And your metabolism slows down. You tend not to burn as many calories just sitting watching TV as you used to when you were younger. And so it becomes all more important to get out and be getting some regular, you know, aerobic activity. With that, I would say when you start to hit middle age, there are some other things to consider. We have access here on the Wasatch back at Park City Hospital to a screening test that we're really recommending a lot these days, and that's called the coronary calcium CAT scan. And the nice thing about that test is it's an $89 test, so it's relatively inexpensive as medical tests go. And what it does is it gives us some information about what your cardiovascular risk is beyond the traditional risk factors that we have. You know, we see patients not uncommonly that don't have a lot of these traditional risk factors like high blood pressure or elevated cholesterol, and yet they still have fairly extensive heart disease, or they have a very strong family history of early heart disease. And this scan basically looks for calcium in the heart arteries, which is there with plaque, and it'll give you a score and it'll rank you against people in your age category. And for men in their 40s and women in their 50s, that's about the time that you want to start thinking about screening tests like that. It's a simple test that your primary care provider can order. We order a lot of them here in the cardiology clinic. And they really help us to further risk stratify patients and decide, you know, who needs to be on cholesterol medicine, who doesn't, who needs to be taking aspirin, who doesn't. These are all questions that we get asked a lot in clinic. And they also help us to identify the patients that are walking around otherwise feeling quite well, who might be at very high risk for having a cardiovascular event. And because they don't have symptoms, they're unaware of it. And so it's a really helpful test.
Coronary calcium test.
Coronary calcium CAT scan. Yep.
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up, Dr. Lapine, because my primary care doctor suggested I do that, and my husband, and then we've talked about it on this show, and I've had guests text me afterwards and say, what was the name of that scan? And then find out later after they got it that they were actually in that, you know, danger zone. And these are, we're talking people who are those, you know, athletic, healthy, do everything right sort of people in Park City. I guess do everything right except inherit some bad genes. But yeah, so wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, Dr. Lapine, but we're so glad that you could join us here on The Mountain Life. It's really great to have you in the community and sharing this knowledge.
No problem. It was a pleasure. And if you ever need me to come on and discuss any other subjects, I'd be happy to.
We will definitely do that. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe
rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.